So we've been talking about the millennial reign. We started at the beginning of when it would start, how long it would be. We talked about the reason for that, right? It's a fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. You think about the kingdom of God, you know, you'll see this time our Lord, the disciples were looking forward to, the apostles were looking forward to it, some people were looking forward to it in the Old Testament. They spoke about it. You'll find it a lot in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, I won't even go to every reference that's in here because there's quite a few references. So then we were talking about last week about believers, right? We know that we'll all come back, and we're talking about what we will do, right? So I can't tell you for sure 100% what we'll do per se, but I do know that he said he would make us kings and priests. What you do for God today, right, as in after you get saved, will impact what you do then. So, you know, living for the Lord, the reality is there is a reward, not just, you know, living here for him, the blessings, but in the future. So it is worth living for him. I was joking about the $1,000 to Mark, but but I like his idea of singing, right? So I'm just joking.
So we talked last week about what, like, what people do on earth and what they will be doing, depends on what they'll be doing during the millennial reign.
Yep.
And it was talked about that, like, women could essentially be.
Well, they asked a question. I just said, I don't know. I don't know what they'll be. As in, for kings or priests or whatever.
But it was, how did that come up? Well, we were talking about. Anyway, it was like that if a man didn't do their job well on earth, that essentially a woman could be over them, per se.
Is that kind of, we were saying, like, women
Well, they would be princess,
but
they wouldn't be king because a king is a man, right?
Yeah. But would they be, so what our question was, because we were talking today, is would they essentially be queens and princesses if men is, has the authority? Or is this, what we learned in the Bible, still, Rachel, help me out. Still is going to be in effect. We were talking about it, so I kind of don't, like, it's still going to be kind of like in effect during
the
millennial reign.
All the believers in the world, we found it hard to believe that we would be in a position of power. We feel like we would be, women would be more of like the helpers, and it would probably, like, all of God's words are very intentional. So he's saying princes and
kings and priests.
Okay, yeah, kings and priests. So we were thinking it would be men.
Yeah.
Correct?
You're probably right. I'm just saying I can't say dogmatically because it doesn't say they not, but you're probably correct.
Yeah. But
right?
I'm like, we're not allowed to teach like men after they reach a certain age. So why would we be in charge of these people?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I said. I can't dogmatically say, right?
Yeah.
Because even in the Old, so I'll give you an example. In the Old Testament, they had prophetesses. In the Old Testament, there were ladies, right? What's that? What are you going to say?
I thought you said prophetess, and I realized you said prophetess.
Yes, there you go. So they had that in the Old Testament, right? So even in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, the one gentleman, his daughters prophesied, right, at the beginning. So, but the authority of being a king, they can't be a king, right? You can't be a king, you know, to be a priest. I wouldn't think so because that's a man, but I can't say it dogmatically like 100%. You know, will there be some authority? Maybe it's authority that's over the ladies that's there. I just don't know. And when the Bible doesn't say anything, then it's all speculation. So it's kind of like I can't say, bless God, it is, or bless God, it's not.
Well, we were just kind of wondering because, like, if God's teaching us this in the Bible now, he wouldn't change it during the millennial reign because he's come back down to earth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, women don't have that authority figure over men per se. You know what I'm saying? That's where my brain was. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I don't know. I don't think so, but I can't say, right? I mean, you read of Esther, right? She was a queen. You read of Deborah, you know. Deborah was a judge. So even though it was, they did things in their own eyes, but she was still a judge, and God greatly used Deborah in the Bible. So I'm just saying I can't say 100% for sure. Because again, you have to remember, it's you look at Old Testament, and now we have New Testament, right? And when we get to the millennial reign, it's like some things back in the Old Testament that's going to happen again. So to go with what you were saying is that theory, it will show you that just because something may not be today doesn't mean it can't be tomorrow. Example, we don't do sacrifices, right? You know, but Mark didn't come in here and have the lamb and say, let's sacrifice it, right? We don't do that. So you could say, well, we're not doing that today, so we're not going to do it. No, in the future, they will do it during the millennial reign. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like some things in the Old Testament will come back because Israel did not do what God wanted them to do. Now in the millennial reign, they're going to do exactly what they should have done back then, right? But I can't say there won't be. I don't think so, but I can't say there won't be. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to be a politician. I'm just saying
no,
I just can't.
It just came up when we were visiting today with the kids.
No, that's good. You're talking about it. Yeah.
We were kind of on the same thought process of it. So I was like,
yeah.
I just got to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think so. Like, I don't think so, but I can't say. Yeah. So, yeah. Any thoughts?
That was funny.
What's that?
The politics.
Yeah. Yes, no, lick my finger. So, well, I guess if I lied, I would be a politician, right? So anyway.
Sorry.
I have a question. Go ahead. So, related to this. So, any thoughts? Right?
I know that they're definitely going to be important.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just don't know, right? I just can't say. So I may pick the brain of Brother Fielder, and he's pretty good with stuff, and asked him, and his comment may be same as what I just told you. I'm like, I'm not sure, right?
So, we're all children of God, right? So,
yeah.
And then there's no marriage, husband and wife, during that time, right?
Well, Debbie and I won't be married, no.
Right.
She'd be happy for it, so.
I would think that the, you know, the male being above the female, like you say, you don't know, but my thought process kind of along that line, that we're all children of God, so
yeah,
pretty much whatever we do is going to be important.
Yeah. What if you think about Eve, right? One of the consequences of her, what she did, and your husband shall rule over you, right? God always had authority, right? God always had the authority there. But you can see the judgment that came. So Ezekiel 41, so we're talking about the millennial reign. And what you'll see in the millennial reign, some things of the Old Testament is coming back. In chapter 41, look here, verse 1. Afterwards, he brought me to the temple and measured the post 6 cubits broad on the one side and 6 cubits broad on the other side, which was the breadth of the tabernacle. In these verses, what you're going to see is start. I may have started back to chapter 40. Chapter 40 through the end of Ezekiel, I think it's 48. I think there's 48 chapters. I have to look now because my brain, fingers. What you're going to see is, these are talking about the future temple during the millennial reign. So here it is. I'm just showing you a verse. I won't go through and read the whole chapters, but you can see there's a temple. This temple is not the one that will be built during the tribulation period where the Antichrist will sit in. This is a temple that will be built afterwards. If you look here at chapter 42, in chapter 42, verse 1, and he brought me forth into the upper court, the way towards the north, and he brought me into the chamber that was over against the separate place, which was before the building towards the north. And he goes on and talks about the lamb. So he's in this chapter, he's describing it, right? If you go to chapter 43, verse 1, afterwards he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh towards the east. And behold, the glory of the Lord, glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like the voice of many waters, and the earth shined his glory. It was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions that I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house of the way of the gate, whose prospect is towards the east. And the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house as a man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, in my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings, nor by their whoredoms, nor their carcass of their kings in their high places. So all I'm doing is breaking down, I'm taking a couple of verses here, just showing you through these verses. This is when our Lord, it's a millennial reign. He's coming back and talked about his throne. He's setting it up. And what? The temple is going to be here. If you look to verse 19, so again, millennial reign, right? If you look at verse 19 of this chapter, now what you're going to see is he's talking about these sacrifices that are going to happen, right? Some of the sacrifices from Old Testament time we do not do during the New Testament time, church age. But in the millennial reign, again, because it's kind of going back to some things of what Israel should have done, right? When you see in the millennial reign, there's going to be sacrifices again. So look here at verse 19. And thou shalt give to the priest of Levites that be of the seed of Zadok, which approached unto me to minister unto me, saith the Lord God, a young bullock for a sin offering. Now, you think about it as a sin offering. Today, you know, we don't have sacrifices, right? But we have a thing that we do as a memorial. You think about it as, I'm not looking there, right? In remembrance of me, is that what it says? Right there. We do communion, right? And that communion is remembering what Jesus did for us. We take the bread and we take the drink and we're remembering. Do this as often as you eat this bread in remembrance of me, right? The cup, he said, after the same matter. And he says, you do these things, you do show the Lord's the Lord to come, right? He's saying that he is coming. So anyway, when they do these sin offering, it's not to forgive them of their sins, because the only way you can be forgiven of your sins is receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Even in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, when they did those sin offering never took away their sin, right? They were looking forward to the Messiah. They did it because that's what God told them, but they were looking forward. So they're going to do sin offerings again, and the reality is they would remember what Jesus did for them, right? Because if you remember Israel, at the end of the tribulation, they get saved, right? So they're born again, right? Now there's going to be other people that will be born, Israelites, Jewish people that will be born. And you could see there will be offerings that are there. So for those that are saved, right, the Jewish people that are saved, you know, you think about it, if they're doing these offerings that's there, it's not to forgive them of their sins. They're already forgiven. It's a remembrance. But it would also help those who aren't saved to realize there is a price for sin, a death, right? So you could see that. Verse 20, and thou shalt take of the blood thereof and put it on the four horns of it and the four horns of the settle, and upon the border round about, and thou shalt cleanse and purge it. And thou shalt take the bullock also of the sin offering, and shall burn it in the appointed place of the house without the sanctuary. So here again, burn, right? It's kind of like this burnt offering. It says, on the second day thou shalt offer a kid of the goats without blemish for a sin offering. Again, it's a picture of Jesus Christ, remembrance of what he did. And thou shalt cleanse the altar, and they did cleanse it with the bullock. And thou shalt make an end of cleansing it. Thou shalt offer a young bullock without blemish, a ram of the flock without blemish. And thou shalt offer them before the Lord, and the priest shall cast salt upon them. And thou shalt offer them for a burnt offering unto the Lord. 7 days thou shalt prepare every day a goat for a sin offering, and thou shalt prepare a young bullock and a ram out of flock without blemish. So he talks about this, right? In verse 7, it talks about that in verse 8. So even though this is millennial reign, Jesus had already died, was buried, and rose again. When they get to the millennial reign, what God's turning back to Israel, and as he turns back to Israel, we could see the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. There are some things in the Old Testament they're going to do again, right? So there will be sacrifices. There will be a temple. There will be sacrifices that will happen at this time. Look to chapter 45. Chapter 45. You probably heard that. I preached that before. But does that surprise anyone or any thoughts? You're all good? Grasping? Good. Look here at chapter 45. Down here, verse 21. Not only the sacrifices, right? I think, I can't remember, there was feast that was mentioned in Zechariah chapter 14. We see a burnt offering, we see a sin offering. In chapter 45, if you look down here, verse 21, I'm sorry. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall have a Passover, a feast of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten. There'll be a Passover, right, during that time, right? So again, if you think about some of these things of the Old Testament that the Jewish people did, you know, we don't do today, right, this church age. But in the future, there'll be a millennial reign, and they will have a Passover, right? So there will be a sacrifice. But again, those sacrifices don't forgive them, don't cleanse them, right? Jesus, they have to accept the Lord as their Savior. Does that make sense? It's kind of, so if you think about it, it's kind of like if you think about it, what was in the Old Testament, what they should have done. They didn't. What's that? Yeah, well, kind of. They should have done. I mean, maybe that's a good way to say it. Now it's going to be done right. Right? So, because he's the fulfillment of these things.
Yeah. Other than that, but like I know that part, but I'm talking about like, is it supposed to remind the Jewish people? Is it like another like reminder of what he did so that they don't?
Well, you think about it, there'll be Jewish people that will be saved that will know it, but they're going to have kids. There's going to be people that will go through go through the tribulation period that are going to make it through.
Yeah, they're going to be married and all.
Yeah. There's going to be people that will still live through the tribulation. Even though there'll be a great multitude, probably, we know at least, I don't know, half the population will be killed off in 3.5 years. The assumption is at least another quarter will probably be gone in the last 3.5 years, if not more, right? I mean, so you think about the number of people that actually goes through, it's not going to be a big number. Well, it'll still be a big number when you look at the whole thing, right? But percentage-wise, it's not going to be majority. But those people who do go through, who will be, you know, Gentiles, there'll be those that are lost, and they're going to have children. And because he sets up this millennial reign, he's sitting there, people are supposed to come. And when they come, there's a Passover, there's a feast. You know, here's someone that's lost. They don't really know too much, right? And so they're going to learn, and there'll be a Passover, and it'll be explained to them. Well, this Passover, there has to be a death, the blood shed. And the reason we're doing this is because that's what Jesus did for us, right? And they're going to say, you know, so many years ago, right? So, but anyway, there'll be people who will get saved during the millennial reign. There'll be other people, and I will show you as we go through it, I don't know if we get through it, who will still be worshiping false gods during the millennial reign. But it'll be different, right? So, give an example. Even though you may not have a false god that's out, like an idol that's here, and they're false gods as in the churches they go to, you can still have a false god in your heart. Do you understand? So they could serve a false god. Their false god could be them, right? So there'll be people that will still, all the things they see, still won't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, right? And it's just, it's one of the most, sometimes my brain, I just sit there and think, how is that possible? Why won't they believe? They don't. You think about it, we have the devil bugging us, right? And, you know, he just bugs us and bugs us. During this time, they're not going to have it. He's going to be in the bottomless pit, right? But the reality is they still have a free will. And there will be still those who will reject Jesus Christ. It's just baffling to me. Knowing who he is, what he's doing, and I'll show you some of the things that will happen during the millennial reign. It's just like, whoa. Yes, did you have a question?
Yeah, are we going to be, when you said that he wipes out a percentage of the population.
We'll be in heaven already.
We'll be serving him while others are on earth.
When we come back, we'll be serving him, yes.
Serving him while people are still alive on earth.
Yes.
And that still reject him.
Yes.
Now, does it say that we would be like influencing them, like to help serve?
Well, I'm sure we will be influencing them in some way, right?
Yeah.
Because we'll have our new bodies. That means we won't have the sin nature,
yeah.
So we won't sin. We're going to serve him, so if he's going to make us kings and priests, you know, whatever else, other jobs we have, we're going to serve him, right? Probably some authority, right? So if I was king of whatever section, right, it's going to be, you know, law and order. Hey, we're going to worship God, right? Because that's what he's saying. So it'll be to that nature. The magnitude of it, the Bible doesn't say. So then it's kind of like it's blurry because I can't really say, bless God, this is exactly what it's going to be because it doesn't really spell it out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So look down here. Think about what's another thing Israel did that we do not do today that was in the Old Testament. Think about the Ten Commandments. There's one of the commandments of the Ten Commandments we don't do, but Israel did. All right. Look at chapter 46, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord God, the gate of the inner court that looketh towards the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be open, and in the day of the new moon it shall be open. There's still going to be like the Sabbath, right? It'll be a time of worship for the Lord, right? So anyway, it's interesting, right? So again, Sabbath. What day is the Sabbath? No.
Saturday,
right? So now, going back, Old Testament, you think about the Sabbath, right? So grace, right? Church age, it's always been grace, but church age, Sunday, first day of the week. And now what? Sabbath, Saturday, right? So sometimes you'll have the Seventh-day Adventists, they'll say, you're cults. Because you worship God on Sunday. The reason we worship him on Sunday is because that's the day he arose. The Bible says that's the day you should gather the offerings together, when they gave it. That's when he met the disciples, when that first day that he arose, that first evening he was there. And sometimes they'll take portion of Scripture, and they may even take this portion and say, see, look, here it is, right? But you have to realize the millennial reign is a a different period of time. Sometimes you'll hear the word dispensation, and that's all it is, a different period of time. You have Old Testament, man in the garden before sin. Things were different. How long did it last? Probably just a day. I don't know. It wasn't too long, probably. You have man before the law was given. And then you have the time of the law. Then you have church age. Then you have the tribulation period, the millennial reign. They are different dispensation, different period of time. And in those different periods of time, you could see things are handled a little different, right? Cain killed Abel, right? And God didn't say kill him. But under the law, thou shalt not kill. You kill someone, kill him, right? The judgment, why? But it was still wrong, but it was a different dispensation. The law wasn't given yet. Does that make sense? I just want to make sure.
Moses didn't receive it
yet. Yes, there you go. The law was not given, right? So if that makes sense. So when you're reading through your Bible, God's dealing with man may be different, right? This period of time, and later. But you have to realize it's a different time period, right? Hopefully it makes sense. So let's look over here to chapter 48. Down here at verse 35. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Oh, right.
So we, as you think about it, as believers, the Sabbath was given to Israel. It was a covenant God gave to Israel, not to the church, to Israel. So you think about church age during this time, we don't keep the Sabbath, right? Millennial reign, I like that replay, right? But this time it's going to be done right, right? What is it? Going back to these things, they're going to do it. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
Right? I like that when you said that. Go ahead, sir.
When they do that, is it like before, like, they're going to say, I'm out, will they be enthused or driven to do the sacrifices and stuff? Or will it come naturally?
Well,
you know what I mean?
I think because he's going to rule with a rod of iron, there's going to be people that will say, some people will be like, I ain't doing this. And God said he'll bring judgment, you know, like that. There'll be judgment. It'll be quick, right? He's not going to, God has long suffering. But during this time, it's going to be a little, it's going to be different. God's timing is different, right? But yes, I think there'll be those that will be rejoicing, right, with it, right? And there'll probably be others, again, in their heart, they may be smiling, but they may not be happy. Right. So if you look in chapter 48, verse 35, so this is at the end. So you're chapter 40, the whole way to 48. It was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. So you can see he's back. This is millennial reign. The sacrifices and those things from chapter 40 on is all talking about the millennial reign when he comes, right, and sets it up. So that will be during the millennial reign, some of these things that we'll see. Look over here to the book of Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Am I going too fast?
Isaiah chapter what?
2. Isaiah chapter 2. So now we're going to get into a little bit more of, so we could see the worship. They're going to come and worship the Lord. There'll be a temple that's there. Some of the Old Testament sacrifices, you know, things will be done there. Now we're going to see how this world's going to be during the millennial reign. Look here in chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house. So when it refers to this as this mountain, I think in book of Micah, we'll get to there later in chapter 4. What he's talking about is now Israel is like, I don't know how to use the word, but like a superpower, right? You think about the United States as kind of superpower that's there. And here it is when they said that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow in unto it, right? Nation of Israel will be the place, you know, because that's where our Lord is. It is going to be a superpower. And what you're going to see is there's going to be people that will come there, right? So it is going to be, you'll see they are the ones of great power. It's because of God. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth a law, and a word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So you could see there, Mark, there will be people that will look forward to that, right? They want to come and hear about God. Tell us about God. So again, you have to think, this world just went through chaos, you know? Billions of people just died, right? And now our Lord is back, and we know in the book of Zechariah chapter 14 that as waters go out, there's this healing that's going to happen across the earth. So there'll be this great trees that were burned and other things. You could see there's going to be a healing, and people are going to have a desire for God. They want to come and hear that, and that's what we're seeing. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshare and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now you can't say that is happening today, right?
No.
This is millennial reign. So during the millennial reign, the nation of Israel will be a great power. There's going to be nations that are going to come in. So these will be the Gentile nations that are come in. So these are the people who made it through the tribulation will start coming to Israel. They want to hear. They heard that the Messiah is here. They want to see him, right? Chances are we could be in those places, set up as the authority and be like, hey, let's go. And there's going to be people excited and say, yeah, let's go. And what you're going to see is this is when there'll truly be peace on earth. They're trying to get peace in Israel. It's not going to work. Never, ever going to work. This is when it will work, right? Because he said he'll rebuke many, right? When someone starts doing something, it'll be like, no, right? And that's not going to happen here, right? So you could see the authority that will be at this place. So it'll be a time of peace, a time of great worship. Look to chapter 11. In chapter 11. In chapter 11. I'm hoping I can get to one more reference that's here. In chapter 11, look down here at verse 3. I think at verse 3, we'll start there. And shall make him of quick understanding of the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of the eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the iniquity of the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. He didn't do that at his first coming, right? But he will do that during the second coming, millennial reign, right? Rod of iron. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, right? We know that it's when he comes back there. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now, you can see here's going to be peace during this time, right? How much peace? Well, look. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. If you have a lamb, you wouldn't want a wolf to be with it. Because a wolf will eat that lamb. You may say, preacher, what's happening? He's coming back, setting up his kingdom, and things are going to be different. So the reality is the animal kingdom, right? The animal world will be different because God is making it different. And a leopard shall lie down with the kid, and a calf and a young lion, and a fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. So think about that, right? It is going to be a time of peace. Peace on earth, mankind, but also peace in the animal world. And so much peace, a little child, so there'll be kids, they'll be born, right? People are going to have kids, they'll be born. And that little kid, you know, we have a dog, right? And our dog, you know, that you can have a little kid lead the dog, right? Well, this talks about animals that you wouldn't. A wolf, a lion, right? Why is that? Because now there is peace. So if you think about the chaos that we have of this world, right? Right now, you better tell your kids, don't go outside, right? Alone, right? Make sure you're in your backyard. Make sure I can always see you, right? Lock your doors. You're not going to have to worry about it during these days. Things are going to be different, even in the world of the animals. The cow and the bear shall feed. See that? Feed. It's going to be different. Animals aren't going to be eating these other animals, right? A cow is not happy around a bear, right? Because a bear will tag it. It'll be afraid of it. It goes on and says, I'll get there. Their young ones shall lie down together, and a lion shall eat straw like the ox. They're not going to do the things that they used to do, right? Because God is changing things, right? You think about a lion now will roar and scare people and, you know, attack you, right? King of the jungle. It's not going to be the case during the millennial reign. God is changing things. So you think about it, it'll be a time of peace. The suckling child shall play in the hole of asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the, how you say that, cockatrice den, right? You wouldn't allow your little ones to do that, right? But then it will, right? Why is that? Because God is changing things. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, our Lord, which shall stand as an inside to the people, and it shall be the Gentiles seek, and rest shall be glorious, right? So if you think about it, things are going to be changed. People are going to know who he is, right? He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He is God. And still, Mark, they know that, and there'll be those who are rejecting. It just doesn't make sense, you know? So anyway, you had a question you were going
to
say something?
Oh, no, I was just going to make a reference to when it says that they won't, the other animals won't eat each other, kind of like when God told the animals to go into the ark. They weren't, you know, there was a lot of variety of animals, male and female, and they weren't eating each other in
no.
the ark.
Yeah.
They just went in, laid down.
Yep, God is in control. When Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, they didn't eat Daniel, right? God controlled it, right? And God is in control. Look here to chapter 35. I want you to see this this reference tonight, because I want you to see what is happening, right? So not only is people going to, there's going to be peace on earth. There's going to be peace with the animals. Kids are going to feel safe to go outside and play with, you know, hey, there's a snake there or whatever. Oh, there's a lion, right? Daddy, look what I brought home today. I brought home a pet lion, you know, and it'll be riding it or whatever, you know. In our minds, we can't, it's like, whoa, right? But things are going to change. And look here in chapter 35. This is just, whoa, right? The wilderness and solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. This world, this earth, I think in Romans, it's saying this world, the creature itself, the creation itself, longs for that day, right? When Cain killed Abel, his blood went into the earth. You think about the earth, right? It's not human, right, and stuff. But you think about the corruptness, the sin, right? It longs for this day. And here it is, where you could see a desert bloom as a rose. Things are going to be different, right? You think about a desert, you know, you're not going to go out there and plant like a rose. But you think about it, it's things are going to change. Why? Because it's him. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even at the joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. Excellency of Carmel and Sharon shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. So not only is there going to be peace on the earth, but this refreshing of the earth, the beauty, you know. No one's going to buy a place in the desert to try to plant a garden. But in that time, you think about a desert, or what was a desert, is not going to be, because there'll be flowers and things that are blossom, right? Things are going to change. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. So he's kind of looking back and saying what's going to happen, right? Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. Then, look at this, during the millennial reign, then shall the then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. They shall then shall the lame man leap as a harp, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. There is going to be a great healing of the earth, as in there will be things that are going to be fixed because of what happened of God's wrath. And now that he's setting up his kingdom, there will be people who can't see that they're going to see. People who are lame that are going to be able to walk. Things are going to be different, right? So you think about when Jesus came to this earth, right? He did the miracles that he did. And what you're going to see during this millennial reign, they'll go back. It'll be those days. You'll see people will get healed, right? There'll be this great healing that's there. It's just like, whoa. Verse 7, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes, right? So, again, it'll be amazing, right? It's not going to be like, whoa, you know, all these things are, it's going to be wonderful. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there. So he's talking about now in Jerusalem that's there. God is, I don't understand how it'll be done, but there'll be a way, right? Like some kind of highway that's there where people will be able to travel to go to Jerusalem to see Jesus. So I don't know how he's going to do it, you know, how he's going to build it, how it's going to be built. I don't know. But that's what's going to happen that's there. Let's see here. Right in the mid, no lion shall be there, nor ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall attain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So again, during this time, millennial reign, there will be people who will die, right? There'll be people that, you know, not serving the Lord, that God could bring judgment to them. But it is going to be completely different from the world that we live in today. It's still this earth, right? But it's going to be changed because of what God's doing. Great miracles, great joy, great peace. So when you think about our world today, you don't think about that. But it will be when Jesus sets up his kingdom, right? It's not going to be heaven, but he's going to set up his kingdom, right? Any questions with that? We'll come back next week. There's some other stuff, and then we'll get into then at the end of the millennial reign, what happens. And that, Mark, there's some things in the Bible just baffles me. One is Judas. I just baffles me about Judas. And the other is, at the millennial reign, those people that reject Jesus Christ.
That's just crazy.
It's just knowing everything that they've seen, they still reject him. It's just baffles me, you know? Judas baffles me from the standpoint. He went out. He was a part of it. He saw the Lord. He saw all the miracles. And he never believed. But it also baffles me is the people that will see Jesus, know who he is, be a part of, been blessed, and still reject him. You know, it's just, it's a baffling thing. Amen. Any questions with that? If not, we'll go ahead and close. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to teach and preach, and I pray that this message was a help and a blessing, and Lord, that we'd be able to learn from that. Looking forward to that day, but until that day comes, help us to be faithful serving you until you come. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.